I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Are one of the few lawmakers from either party who has vocally opposed such a ban, and you've expressed concern about what you call the xenophobic anti-China rhetoric surrounding the issue. Can you explain your position a little further?
So Republicans cannot govern on the issues, so they often use fear-mongering tactics to display themselves as being strong lawmakers. So whether it's fear-mongering as it deals with the border or the debt limit or crime or China, this is how they govern. And I'm disappointed that some Democratic lawmakers are responding to them and acquiescing to this rhetoric.
I have a question. I know Al Sharpton just asked him a question, but I have one also. That's Congressman Bowman, Democrat, New York. This is March 27, 2023. You heard Al Sharpton questioning Democrat New York Congressman Bowman, referenced TikTok, and Congressman Bowman says, TikTok's not so bad. Republicans are using fear-mongering tactics. My question, Congressman Bowman, have you received any money from China? I'm just asking the question. Did say he did. But he sure seems on the defensive about TikTok. Oh, he goes on to say, you know, we also had a problem with other social media. We need to look at all of them. And in fact, he used this as a fact. He said, Facebook, listen here, please listen. Facebook knew Russia was colluding with Trump in 2016 and looked the other way. He's wrong on so many counts. Let's just begin with a very simple one. There was no Russian collusion. That's been proven over and over again. If there were, it would be in front of us, but it's not. TikTok is a threat to this nation. And in fact, during the hearings last week, and there were so many of them, I couldn't put all of them on the air last week. I want to go back to it, and that would be Congressman Kat Kamak from Florida, as she's questioning the CEO of TikTok, and listen to how evasive this man can be.
You've used the word transparency over a half a dozen times in your opening testimony and subsequently again in your answers to my colleagues. Yet the interesting thing to me is that ByteDance, your parent company, has gone out of their way to hide and airbrush corporate structure, ties to the CCP, the company's founder, and their activities. You can look no further than the fact that ByteDance website has been scrubbed. In fact, we found web pages from the Beijing Internet Association, the industry association charged with Communist Party building work of internet companies in Beijing. They have been archived, but since deleted. Makes you kind of wonder why. Yes or no, ByteDance is required to have a member of the Chinese government on its board with veto power. Is that correct?
No, that is not correct. ByteDance owns some Chinese businesses, and you're talking about this very special subsidiary.
Ah, you see how they do that? Yeah, we're owned by ByteDance, which is Chinese communist, but they own subsidiary, and it's like a chain of command. But when word comes down from the chain of command, in this case, the Chinese Communist Party, do you not think they're doing what they're told to do? Of course they are. But it's a hard time convincing some Americans, and Congressman Bowman, one of them, because he still wants to buy into Russian collusion, but he won't look at this danger. Now, you want another? I'll give you an entirely different source. Let's go to Bill Maher and his thoughts.
They're able to look at everything that somebody is doing on TikTok. Now, I don't know if they're going to get a lot of information from our kids because our kids don't know anything. But there is a lot of information to be gleaned. And just in general, I mean, I noticed this is the 20th anniversary of the Iraq War, and, you know, the naivete that we had with Iran taking over that country. It just makes me think about this, just in broad strokes. To not be naive about China, really, are they doing it? Of course they're doing it, yeah. Because they're the country that puts the Uyghurs in camps. They're the country that locks you in your apartment. Yeah. If you had COVID, they did crazy things. It's a president for life. It's a surveillance state.
It is a surveillance state. And they're our adversary. Of course they're going to spy on us. The other day, Congressman Bowman said, well, I haven't seen any of it. Well, either you're clueless or maybe that's what spies are supposed to do their job and not have you see it. And clueless people like you are an easy target. Donald Trump going into Waco, of course, for his rally in Texas Saturday evening. He got a great response, but as one of the leftists was quick to point out, no major network, not even Fox News, is carrying it. They don't want to give him any more public stances. They know he's vile and vicious. They're in Waco and they're ignoring him. I quickly pointed out to the person that tweeted that, you're so cool, so confident. You need to learn how to spell Waco. You spell it W-A-K-O. Don't you think you should learn basics before you start criticizing others? But I will tell you this. Texas Congressman Wesley Hunt said Trump is clearly our guy.
The person that's being supported by the Republicans of yesteryear, nobody wants that anymore because we want a fresh start. We want to head in a different direction. And so when we see the left going after the top candidate and making him a political enemy and weaponizing the DOJ, weaponizing the FBI against a former president who is currently running for president, what that tells us is that that's our guy. That's the guy that we want leading us in the future, because we want somebody that's going to fight for what we want as the American people, not fight for what's happening in D.C., not fighting for the bureaucrat, not fighting for the old regime or the old Republican Party.
Yeah, some of the Republicans didn't like that, did they? But that's Texas Congressman Hunt, and he says they put a target on his back, so he's definitely our guy. And then we have, of course, the military diversity, equity, and inclusivity officers in training that we've been talking about. They have been spending a lot of money to put them in place. And of course, the other day we pointed out that they had this one DEI officer who was caught tweeting racist remarks about white people. They just reshuffled her position, a six-figure salary, to put her somewhere where she'd never be in that position again. This is what this administration has been doing. Not improving our military, not making the nation safe, making us dependent upon foreign countries. Ah. Hey, before today's Daily Report wraps, you're going to hear from Rabbi Menken of the Coalition for Jewish Values. The Anti-Defamation League is now controlled by leftists. That interview coming up, lock and load, ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, and we've had this guest on numerous times before. Always glad to have him and get his insight on things. And in this case, we're talking about anti-Semitism and how it's being labeled and mislabeled in some cases, and the wrong party sometimes being blamed, and for what reason. That becomes the main key. Our guest is Rabbi Menken. And Rabbi, first of all, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Thank you. It's good to be back with you.
So I'm looking at what we've seen here, that you're looking at a report that just came out from the ADL. That's the Anti-Defamation League. Now, let us state first that the Anti-Defamation League, normally a lot of folks would think, well, they would be fighting against anti-Semitism, and everything they would do would be correct in making sure we put a halt to that kind of hate. Is that your perspective?
Unfortunately, not at all. Since 2015 or 16, the organization has been directed by a former Obama administration operative whose experience and track record and resume is long on working for progressive causes, including some very good things, improving the world, et cetera, but zero experience combating anti-Semitism. And unfortunately, it has infected the entire organization, which is now looking at anti-Semitism through a very partisan lens, which is very unfortunate.
Well, if they're looking through a partisan lens, and they're obviously ignoring some that would be responsible and focusing on a particular group. Let's begin with who's the focus point.
Well, their focus point, or the real focus
point?
Well,
let's begin with their focus point, first of all.
They want to tell you, and, you know, honestly, this is rhetoric that you hear routinely from the left, which has, I think, is partially responsible for the fact that a lot of conservatives don't appreciate that anti-Semitism is radically on the rise in America. Because all the people are hearing are false accusations directed against conservatives. For example, the assertion that the key factor in anti-Semitism and a direct linkage needs to be made between anti-Semitism and white supremacy. We heard this from the Biden administration when they made a statement on anti-Semitism. We heard it more recently from Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff when he did a summit on anti-Semitism. The problem with that is if you actually look at, for example, hate crimes in New York City over the last 3 years, 60% of hate crimes were against Jews. So more than all the other so-called persecuted groups combined were attacks on Jews, overwhelmingly against the Orthodox. So Orthodox Jews were half of the victims of all hate crimes in New York City in the last 3 years, which is an appalling stat. 97% of the perps were not white, where they could identify the perp, where there was a video, where there was any, even if they hadn't caught the guy, but at least they see his ethnicity on video, non-white.
So that video then rescores your point that it's not all white supremacy. But of course, the white supremacy acts and actors are responsible for some. There's no doubt about that. But what this is doing is taking that small number, that, if I'm hearing you correctly, 3-4%, and saying that's the majority issue.
That's the problem. That's what we need to be fighting. If you actually look at what's going on, two-thirds of those crimes, like I said, 97% non-white, well, two-thirds of the perps were from the black community. There's obviously a problem of black anti-Semitism, and yet DEI officials will tell you that because they're persecuted, black people cannot be racist. Anybody can be a racist.
If they look
at minorities and say, none of them will tell you that a Jew can't be a racist. They'll all admit immediately that even though Jews are persecuted, Jews are, and overwhelmingly so, they still claim that, first of all, Jews have privilege, which is just obscene. But then they also go and say, oh, Jews, yeah, they can be racist.
Well, now, I'm always taking the opinion that if you consider that you're better than someone else or they're worse than you because of color or things of that nature, then you're obviously a racist on one factor or another. But let me, there's also a link to anti-Islamism in that. I mean, the Islamic base, anti-Islamic bias. How is that tied in, and how is that affecting not only the Jews, but the charges and the allegations?
Well, that's another distraction. This idea that Islamophobia was invented to be a counterpart for anti-Semitism. There's no question that there's places around the world where the adherents of Islam face bigotry and persecution. Guess what? There are places around the country and the world, where Christians face bigotry and persecution, including a lot of Islamic countries. In fact, overwhelmingly, the experience of Islam with bigotry and persecution has primarily been on the giving side. That's just history. We have to acknowledge that. To claim that Muslims are inherently persecuted, especially when you combine it with color, they tell you that the victims who were ethnically cleansed out of Syria, the Syrian Jews now in America, have white privilege, but the Syrians who ethnically cleansed them out are people of color and persecuted. That's ridiculous, and it's obscene.
Yeah, and you look at what's happening in China with Uyghur Muslims there. I mean, that's how they're being treated. So,
if you actually care about Muslims, you're condemning China. If you don't actually care about Muslims, you're condemning Israel, which is the only country that gives them, in that region of the world, the right to vote in free and fair elections.
Now, you represent also the Coalition for Jewish Values. How does the Coalition for Jewish Values stand up against the ADL in the sense of power and one as to which one is more reliable in giving you accurate facts, whether you like them or not?
Well, the Coalition for Jewish Values, given our size, we're not doing the statistical analyses on our own just yet. Although, and this is a surprising thing. I mean, look, the data that just came out from the ADL over the last week regarding hate crimes last year, all those numbers are accurate. The numbers and data add up. It's just that when Greenblatt opens his mouth to talk about them, he delivers the wrong message.
Oh, now, no, sir. May I correct you? I think he delivers a message he wants to deliver.
Oh, it's absolutely the message he wants, but it's the wrong message objectively, because again, he talks about things like white supremacy or Donald Trump or Tucker Carlson instead of talking about, for example, you know, just now, Rashida Tlaib. She retweeted a Middle East report that the Israeli police had attacked a group of Palestinians. Now, of course, Palestinians, what they're talking about when you remove the racism, they mean Arabs, because anybody from that section of the world, they'll call a Palestinian unless they're Jews. So I regard Palestinian as a racist term, and it's just about dispossession of the Jews from Judea. So let's call them Arabs. What was actually going on is the police was separating a gang fight between Arab teens. Actually, the police were helping the Arab community to restore order. So the group that originally posted the tweet, when they got fact-checked, they took the tweet down. Rashida Tlaib's tweet about it is still there, blaming the Israelis, blaming the Jews. She doesn't actually care about civil rights for Muslims, like the Uyghur Muslims in China, or even for Arabs. She only cares, how can I blame the Jews for the problem?
Well, let me ask about this this development that happened the other day, that supposedly Premier Xi has negotiated a pact between Iran and Saudi, leaving the U.S. on the outside of it. What does that do to the stability of Israel itself?
It remains to be seen, because the Saudis are also coming closer to the Abraham Accords.
Which were broken during the Trump.
Yes, correct. Yeah. The Abraham Accords from the Trump administration. Both the Saudis and the country of Oman recently opened their airspace to Israeli flyovers. Now, that is actually a huge, big deal, because there's a whole series of destinations that the Israelis could only reach by flying over. Saudi Arabia is a huge country, and Oman apparently is like the gateway to the next part.
Right.
So That is actually a very, very big deal. And it also means, by the way, look, someday a plane could declare an emergency and have to land in their airspace.
But now Iran teaming with Saudi Arabia through this brokered pact. You say it moves it closer to that. I thought I've heard from some Israelis that is very dangerous for our part of the world.
The big loser in that is the United States, because the United States is now being regarded as so weak that the Saudis would go deal with the Iranians.
There you go.
When, you know, we've been saying, wait a minute, you've got a boycott. That the Saudis don't listen to the Israelis, kind of obvious. That the Saudis don't listen to the Americans is a real big sign of weakness in the United States that really the cause of human rights around the world cannot afford. So it's actually very dangerous for the world in general. I would have to say anything that strengthens the hand of Iran is endangering Israel right now. So, yeah, it's bad for Israel, too. But it's bad for anybody who values human rights, American power, and the development of democracy and capitalism. All of those things are endangered by that.
Let me drill down on another subject in the last minute and a half here, and that is that I know it's starting today that they've the Knesset is in a hold, basically, or judicial-confirmed overhaul legislation. They're having a historic strike underway, even as I speak, apparently, with the multiple sectors, transportation, universities, restaurants. What's at stake in this issue?
You know, it's outrageous because what really is at stake is democracy. The Supreme Court in Israel, beginning in the 1990s, arrogated upon itself power that the Constitution never allowed it. They allowed themselves to review any decision that they wanted to and override it when the judiciary was self-selecting, that they got to vote on who the next members of the panel would be, which, of course, is not how it works in the United States.
Well, now, very quickly, because we're coming up on short time, this all started because Netanyahu apparently fired his defense minister because he spoke against the legislation. A good decision or a bad
decision?
That's
a piece of it. But the real thing here is Netanyahu is trying to restore democracy and have democratic control over an out-of-control judiciary. But the left, they want control. They don't actually want democracy. They want control, and here they're in danger of losing it, and that's why they're rioting.
Well, you named exactly the issue we have in this country as well. I want to thank you very much, Rabbi Menken, for spending some time with us, helping clarify some of these issues.
Glad to be with you. Thanks so much.
You bet. Yeah, that's, as he said, the left, even in Israel, wants control. They don't want democracy. They want control. Does that sound a little bit familiar to what you're seeing here? Yes. Let me answer it for you. Thank you, Larry, for helping with the answer because it was too difficult. No, I know it wasn't for you. But, again, on the world stage, we need to be stronger. Ackerman Toyota wishing you a great 2023, but Jay Ackerman knows that times are tough for some. So Jay has a mission to help charities that truly make a difference. Food banks, veterans groups, charities battling cancer, head injuries. Jay wants to give back to the community. So I personally ask you to consider his mission when you're shopping for a car. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota. For life. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Oh, I can feel my face when I'm with you. My love it, oh. And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. But she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. Well, what deep in love, yes, I know. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The Claremont Institute has a mission to restore, as it says, the principles of the American founding. Now, the Claremont Institute has a research branch which has just come out with this database, and it claims that Black Lives Matter riots of 2020 were the largest and most successful shakedown in American history. And they point out, to date, they find 400 companies and $83 billion in pledges and contributions. These companies pledging for racial equity, which we're all for, racial equity, but it's in this case it was used as an extortion tool. If you don't sign on for it, we will come after you. And that's what's happened. A lot of the companies suddenly folded and started giving money. Now, when I say, according to this report from the Claremont Institute, $83 billion, that number pales in comparison from a consulting firm, McKinsey Company, which estimates $340 billion. Bottom line is, how many black Americans actually benefited from it? Now, there are various groups that benefited, and obviously some black Americans working for them or working with them are receiving something from them, but how much has it helped black American lives and black American neighborhoods? You take just the $83 billion. How much could you do to improve urban areas across the nation? I have not seen any evidence of any money being spent in that area. And many who have been part of the Black Lives Matter movement have been speaking out and very upset with it. When they see something like $30 billion given to J.P. Morgan, or that J.P. Morgan gave $30 billion, Bank of America, $18 billion, the Silicon Valley Bank, which went under, gave $70 million, and you got defense contractors who are supposed to be neutral. They've been giving into all kinds of BLM demands as well. Raytheon pledging $25 million over 5 years to advance racial justice, empowerment, and career readiness in underserved communities. Now, if that money is used in that fashion to help the underserved communities prepare for a job with a defense contractor like that, that would be good. But what we have seen so far, judging by the former founders of the BLM movement, they've taken their money and they've gone away. Patricia Kilore, one of the founders, admitting she's a Marxist, buying no less than four homes at $200,000 plus, and who knows what else. Says she's down with the struggle, but she's out of it now. And she claims, no, I made all that money from speaking and books and so forth. Maybe. But we also know that many of these communities in our nation are still suffering, that could certainly have been helped by even a fraction of the, if you take the Claremore Center report, $83 billion. And if you take the McKinsey Company report of $340 billion, there's a lot of money that could help a lot of Americans truly in need. Not those who could care less and just want to be living off the teat of the government. Folks who really want to change their lives for themselves and their families. And we all should want that for our fellow Americans. We all should want everyone to share in the wealth of this country. And the best education, the best police and fire protection, the best health care. But when you get something like BLM basically extorting money from corporations, when somebody comes along with a true need, they're going to get a pittance of what was going to be given if you come in crying and holding the race card. And that's a shame. That doesn't help America. Some of this money obviously helped create, they say, diversity, equity, and inclusion. That was the whole idea. Use some of this money and come up with a way to create that across our nation, in schools, universities, and in our military. Listen to the senator.
Mainstream media means normal. So the Navy is implying here that conservative religious people are abnormal. Kind of concerns me. Mr. Raven, 65% of the American population identifies Christian. And another 4% of Americans are Jewish, Muslim, or Hindu. The vast majority in this country, the Navy's recruiting pool, is religious. The Navy's spending millions of man hours on a training that blatantly calls many of its service members abnormal, and then being surprised that recruiting numbers are down would be like a college football coach walking to a recruiting house and calling mom's wallpaper ugly. I mean, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work, and he would know because he served as a powerhouse in Alabama coaching for decades. Now Senator Tommy Tuberville, Republican of Alabama. And he said the recruiting standards we have already, you know, probably been lowered in some cases, but in this case, they're basically saying that if you are religious, you're abnormal. if you have any inclination as to be a chaplain in our Navy and other military branches right now, you really got to be abnormal. We have reached this point because we have continued to just step back and step back and allow a little bit more and a little bit more, and we're being pushed. We're being pushed by a very small percentage of people. This is an ant pushing against us as an elephant, and we just keep retreating. At some point, we need to step up and stomp that damn thing to death. One foot down on it. And people often ask me, so are we going to see the end of everything here? Is this just going to continue? Are we going to lose our nation? I said, well, the way we're going, we might well. I'm not saying that you have to be a religious zealot. I'm not even saying that you have to be in your face preaching Christianity or whatever your religion is all the time. But there are times you got to say, we're going in the wrong direction for this country. And if you look at the other countries where they either outlaw religion or prescribe what can and cannot be a religion, compared to where we are, is that where you want to go? There are some that want to see that happen. They do. They enjoy all that we have here. They take advantage of all that we have here, but they will not stand up and say, no more. They're all amazed at these recent movies that have come out involving Christian stories, and they're getting such a great acceptance. And many are saying, why doesn't Hollywood do more of these? Obviously, they're a moneymaker. Even if the Hollywood moguls decide, you know, I'm not into religion, Christianity, Jew, Islam, anything, but if we can make a dollar, let's do it. It wouldn't make any difference to me how or why. It's a matter that they do it and that we keep that in front of our children, because that is a path we need to be going down before God says no more.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So put this on your calendar. May the 1st, Napoli C will open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. Napoli C will have the finest seafood, lobster, crab, caviar. May 1st, Napoli C opens on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3, which is also open for lunch and on Sundays. You can find me at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles, and then May 1st, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So this is a hotline that's been established in the state of Missouri to protect children. The Missouri Attorney General Bailey announcing his office has launched a hotline where those who have experienced harm from gender transition interventions or witnessed troubling practices at transition clinics in Missouri can submit their concerns. The tip line stemming from the investigation the Attorney General launched into St. Louis Pediatric Transgender Center that's been accused by a whistleblower of using experimental drugs on children, puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, without individualized assessment or even giving children these life-altering drugs without parental consent. So they have set up a hotline. They have not at this time designated a number for it. But I will tell you this, because the Attorney General has now established this as law, if you call 911, if any of these complaints, they will have to refer you and make sure you're contacted. They get you a form to fill out. That's a start. I know it's a slow process, but the number has not yet been established. Now, in Tennessee, Governor Bill Lee did the same thing to stop such operations. In Kentucky, the state house passed a bill, and Iowa has done the same with its state senate that would even keep students from using bathrooms that don't correspond with their biological sex. This is the pushback I'm talking about. This is what we need to do. And I told you that one of the prime motivations of this program is protect our children from woke predators, be they preying upon their body physically, to change it, or whatever their intentions are preying upon their minds. We will fight woke predators every single day. And I count on your support. As always, thank you for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.